One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, this is Ryan Fraser.
This is Troy Daney.
This is Gus Boyett.
This is Don Hutchison.
This is Jürgen Klopp, and you're listening to The Big Interview with Graham Hunter.
Thank you, Jürgen. I travelled to all these interviews from Barcelona, and our socios, our beloved members, keep us on the road. This independent podcast would not happen without them. Please go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter right now to become a socio, to become one of our members, and get an extra big interview every month, plus loads of bonus content. So go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter, patreon.com/Graham Hunter, and we'll bring you joy. Brendan's back. Mr. Brendan Rodgers spoke to us in the big interview from a very pleasant place, very near a golf course, with the sound of waves lapping on a beach very near his open window. Amongst many subjects here, we're going to dig into the reasons why, in his last two jobs at Celtic and Leicester, this coach has made his first job the recruitment of the existing jefe of the dressing room, the boss, a senior figure who he's identified as having a value which goes way beyond what he does on the pitch. At Celtic, it was Scott Brown, and this is a really punchy part of the interview, a part that told me things I did not know. Scott Brown was in a rare slump in what has been a dominant career in Scotland when Brendan Rodgers arrived at Parkhead. At Leicester, it was Wes Morgan, the man who lifted the Premier League trophy and one who Rodgers knew could still do an important job for him. I think Brendan Rodgers gets into the spirit of the big interview. It was a pleasure talking to him. He gave us oodles of time. I hope you enjoy it. Tell us if you do. And thank you for joining the big interview. It's certainly a feeling of mine that when you went to Celtic, which I think became an extraordinary opportunity for you to win and win and win, because it's really vital to win things and lift trophies, to teach yourself about the next level again. But it felt to me as an Aberdeen fan, so thanks for all you did for us, that when you came, it's my perspective that when you came, you seemed to put a microscope on Scott Brown to the extent that it appeared from the outside that there was an effect. I'm not saying it was the same tactics, but when Wenger came to Arsenal and the back five said, wow, everything he's asking us to do, everything he's changing in us has given us a greater enjoyment, a longer career, a vitality. And it feels to me that one of the legacies, if you leave the trophies aside, And the playing style, one of the legacies you've left at Celtic seems to me to have been a completely changed and revitalised Scott Brown. Is that accurate? Do you explain your relationship and what you tried to do to him?
He was an incredible captain for me. And funny enough, before I joined Graham, someone had rang me and was telling me about the job and stuff. And one of the first things he said was, listen, if you're going to play how you want to play there, Brendan, you're probably going to have to move on Scott Brown. And really, him and I hit it off from the first time we met. I invited him down when I knew I was taking the job. I invited him down to my house in London, and we had a chat, had a really good chat. I explained the ideas. I also was telling him about behaviour, you know, because before I went in, Celtic had lost in the semi-final of the Cup, and they were well beat. They lost in penalties, but they got dominated in the game by Rangers in the Scottish Cup final. So there was a real fear and a sense that Rangers were, right, they've now been back up to the top level. They've beaten Celtic in the Cup. So, and obviously leading into that game, Scott was sat on a street, having had a night out. And the point I was making straight away to him is, you can't do that. If you want to be the best player that you possibly can be, and you want to lead a club of Celtic's status and institution, then you're one of the pillars of this club. And from that meeting on, he was incredible for me. You know, this is a guy who... I wanted to help him tactically because I seen him as a young player. He used to run all over the place because he could run, you know. But what I was trying to get him to do was to think and run, and not just to run. So from that was going to then be a tactical shift in how he would play, but always knowing that he had the personality and he also wanted to be better and improve. And I've got to say, he was absolutely magnificent for me. I couldn't speak highly enough of him as a guy, you know. He played the game like he was trying to show people that this was the first time you're seeing me play. You know, every single game. And that wouldn't matter if that was Rangers in a semi-final or a final, or up at Aberdeen, or away at Inverness, or away in Barcelona, home to Man City. It didn't matter. He was playing like the people watching were watching him for the first time. And an absolute... He's a much, much better player than what he's given credit for. There's absolutely no doubt, if he wanted to, he could have played at the top end of the Premier League. One, because of his personality, and two, because of his ability. He stayed at Celtic all his career and all his life. His family's happy where they've been living. He's playing at a big club. He's European football. But for me, I couldn't speak highly enough of him. What an incredible player he was for me.
It looked as if you took somebody you'd encountered. Okay, maybe he had to alter nights out a little bit. Maybe he had to alter diet. But you took somebody who is clearly a warrior. And I think we identified Suarez and Eto'o and Terry, amongst many, as warriors too. But that phrase you said about like teaching to run and think, you gave a lie to the old story about a leopard can't change its spots, because it was very late in his career, not to rescue it and make him better, but to ask him to the themes we've been talking about, view the ball, timing, space, dictation to other people, planning ahead when the ball's about to come to him. You were asking him to do a lot of things that you knew he was capable of, but they were still new to him. That makes you an accomplished teacher, no?
No, you need the pupil to be want to learn. That's what's important. And I was fortunate. I went into Celtic there, and like you say, they had won the titles. My idea was to go in and see if they could win in a better way. Could we enhance the level of the game, and then could we give the players a tactical idea that gets them thinking in a different way about football? As like you said, as a, you know, Celtic's always are a club that style is important. It's not just about winning; you have to win in a certain style. And I was very much aware of that. So it was a case of trying to bring that game and that tempo and the game that I knew into work.
Who were the other good pupils who clicked quickly and who adapted quickly and who were ready for it, either intellectually or in terms of their technique?
Well, I think firstly I must say that all the Scottish boys were amazing. You know, because sometimes the British players are deemed, they'll run all day for you and they'll run through brick walls but tactically they maybe don't understand the game. But all those players, Brownie, Callum McGregor, Stuart Armstrong, Kieran Tierney, they were all absolutely fantastic for me. You know, Callum McGregor's a player that is, he plays the game so simple and so well. You know, he was a top-class player. Young Ryan Christie came through in the sort of second season. He had, you know, we'd sent him to your club, to Aberdeen, and Derek done a brilliant job with him, just getting him to play, but play under pressure, bulk up his body. So by the time he came back to Celtic, and then he took his opportunity, his big opportunity came against Hearts in the semi-final at Murrayfield, when he came on and made the difference in the game. And from that moment, he really, really produced, and of course scored in a cup final, a league cup final against Aberdeen, the winner. So the Scottish boys were absolutely brilliant.
But before we finish in Leicester, you're a Leicester man through and through now. One is always most loyal to the team that you're at the time, and the vista for you near and midterm is really exciting. But we're on the anniversary of a year ago. The team, the club, the institution that helped you expand your ideas and learn from, Football Club Barcelona, going to Anfield, where you certainly began what Jurgen Klopp has done, special things there. But in terms of ideology, in terms of the style of play, the quick thinking that we saw with Trent Alexander-Arnold and David. When you watched that game, what impressions were you left with? It's historic, it was an amazing comeback. But in football terms, what were you seeing that night of Liverpool 4, Barcelona 0?
Well, do you know what? I didn't actually see the game live because we had our club function that evening. It was the Players of Awards evening. And I suppose, like everyone, we were obviously, we'd heard the scores as they were coming through. Seen the first leg, and obviously Barcelona thinking that they could have been, you know, 3-4 up, maybe more, because they played well in the game. But there's a certain power of Anfield that, and especially with the scoreline where it was at, if you can get the first goal, then all of a sudden the crowd are just can take the team. And that's what happened that night. And Liverpool were absolutely brilliant, you know, too. No one would ever have thought they're going to beat Barcelona 4-0 and that Barcelona wouldn't score. And they would win how they did. So it was a phenomenal performance and result, and one that I'm sure for Barcelona it hurt deeply, that one.
For all your achievements, Brendan, I have to say that when you moved to Leicester, I could easily see the logic. I could see that what I called the vista in front of you, because some players have been added, but if you look now at Maddison, who's special, Tielemans and Chilwell and Soyuncu, who's just been a recent, he's got much more exposure now because of the Maguire sale, but it's quite clear that you and your staff understood that, built into the whole idea about Harry going and the price, that there was somebody who could. If you think about Barnes and Didi and Choudhury and Gray, the list of the talents, the mentalities, their ages, you've never had a bigger palette in front of you, irrespective of the trophies and the good football at Celtic, the massive institution and the good footballers that you had, Gerrard and Coutinho and Suarez. This is a completely different palette for you to impose your ideas on in a squad that seems to me to be like a sponge soaking up your ideas in terms of play.
Yeah, I went to Leicester City because of the challenge. It was a big challenge. Could I take a squad of players that for the probably a couple of seasons had been sort of mid-table? Could we then work together from the club, everyone with the same vision, and could we take that team and club into the top six? So that was going to be the biggest challenge. And but from day one, the players have been exceptional. You know, we altered how the team is very much, obviously, when they won the title, very much a counter-attack team. Frighteningly good on the counter-attack, you know, and obviously went on and won the league. Then after that there, it became difficult because teams would just deny the space, and then the team would have found it a little bit difficult, which happens. Claude came in and done a very good job introducing young players and looking to change the style. And then we were able to come in and continue with that work based around the ideas of how we've always worked in terms of looking to be a dominant team, because that's what supporters want to see from me. They want to see their team go after the game and want to score goals, and but also from a coaching perspective, you want your team to be super organised, and you want to see your team be creative and play well. So since we came in, as I said, the players have been absolutely first class. A lot of young talents that are supported by a lot of top class senior professionals.
Did you ask Wes Morgan, what role has Wes Morgan played in terms of atmosphere and attitude? And I'm thinking back to what you said about Scott Brown and immediately a click with you. Has he had a useful presence?
Yeah, more than useful. He's a highly respected player. Of course, he's getting towards the latter stage of his career, Wes, but he'll always be a club legend, obviously being the captain that won the Premier League title, but also the type of person he is. You know, he's got, he's just this wonderful team guy who hasn't played so much for me, but he knows how important he is to me in terms of the culture and the environment that I always like in a team. Because whether you're an older player, younger player, for me, there's always development. And for that, there needs to be an environment. So whether you're 21 or 31 or 35, for me, I always think you can develop. And he is a really, really important player to ensure the spirit is maintained. And like I say, he gives great advice to the younger players also.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
What can somebody, not just Wes, do to create that environment? What the environment you're talking about is about being open and learning and thinking and trying to pick things up every, or describe the environment you're talking about.
Well, I think in terms of that situation as an older player, you get to 35, 36, a player like Wes is selfless. Because sometimes the older you get, you can think, the brain starts to talk to you as an older player. Am I quick enough? Am I, you know, you're thinking things, you don't want to be exposed. The best ones that I've worked with, they understand eventually where they're at in their game, and they understand that there's maybe another role to play, which isn't maybe playing 50, 60 games a season. And that's what Wes fits into it perfectly. He trains as if he is going to play every week, but he respects what we're trying to achieve, what the club's trying to achieve, and he's there to offer guidance to the younger players, and obviously the likes of Cags, who's playing in the team. But I also know, and he's come in a number of times for me in my time at Leicester and been absolutely first class. But a really humble guy, a good guy, who's a real warrior, you know, come through the lower levels, Graham, earned his right to play in the Premier League, and is still a very valuable player for our squad.
Whose trajectory should I be most attentive to, Brendan? Just coming to the end of this beautiful chat we've had, because my eye's drawn to Maddison, not because he played at Pittodrie, but because he's patently a footballer. You could drop him into several teams of the 60s, 70s, 80s around Europe, and you might think of him as like a 10. And to go with his talents, he's brave. He doesn't want to be on the ball all the time because he's greedy. He wants to be on the ball all the time because he thinks he can do something to help the team. I don't see him as a selfish footballer, but I may be seeing that incorrectly. And maybe Leicester fans would say to me, Graham, ask Brendan about Chilwell instead, because his development, his reliability, his consistency and his development, which is the word you use, has been extraordinary, particularly since you came to the club. So guide me. I don't know if you pick one of those that you want to explain to me a little bit about what's going on and whether I've described them adequately, but those two come to my mind from what I've watched your team doing.
Yeah, there's of course a lot of profile around those two boys, two big English talents, you know, early 20s. And thankfully for them and for the teams they'll play for, there's still a lot more to come from them. James is, like you say, I seen him at Aberdeen in my time when I was at Celtic. He was lightweight in terms of his body, but he had a real courage to be creative and get on the ball and do things, and done very well for Aberdeen. But when I came in, he was one of the players I was looking forward to working with, just to actually see close up. And he's this wonderful personality. You know, some may deem it arrogant, but it's not. He has a football arrogance that when he gets onto the pitch, he knows he can cause teams problems. But what we try to give him in the game is this positional game. So don't be just known as a 10. You know, he's played as an 8 off the left side of a midfield 3, been in good positions, and also the other side of the game. You know, you have to be able, you know, fundamentally, to attack well, you need to be able to defend well. So he has to understand how to press the game and where to press it. So these were the same, you know, the same types of information we'd have given to Philippe Coutinho, because I think Philippe would have said, you know, one of the things he felt he learnt when he came into Liverpool working with myself was because he was a talent, but he felt he knew how to defend better and how to press the game better. Because all the talent is, he has that, you know. But it's understanding how to synchronise that within the team. And that's what James is. He's a wonderful technician. He's a world-class specialist on dead balls. You know, incredible free kicks, corners, everything like that. He's a threat on goal, either assisting or shooting. But he has more to come in his game. The more experience he gains at the highest level.
A lot of players like that, you have to teach them not to want to be the velvet bow on top of the present, whereby the work's all done and now I'll do the, look, here's the clever thing. And it's a lot of players with his gifts feel like that. My penultimate, Brendan, is do you feel a little bit sort? You knew him, Philippe Coutinho, and he came here and I met him and interviewed him, watched him playing. I felt hugely sorry for him because, you know, he's a good pro. He was a thorough preparer. He tried really hard to fit in. He produced some good goals. He produced some lovely assist passes. You could see that he was somebody who wanted to work back. He wasn't just a filigree show-off player. But with every touch that didn't go right, with every groan, and you've heard the camp now when it's not happy and they're a very demanding audience, with every time that Messi gave him a glare and said, not here, there, what are you... he shriveled a little bit. Whereas I think he was loved at Anfield, and I think he grew mentally through tuition and through being adored. And I've watched and I felt terribly sad for him because he couldn't quite make the click about I belong here. And okay, Messi, if I didn't give you the ball, then you know, tough, you know, shut it. He didn't have that in him.
Yeah, it has been sad to see because I done an interview and I felt that if there was a player that was perfect for any club, it would have been Philippe Coutinho for Barcelona, especially with Iniesta, who was a player that I adored so much, thinking he coming towards the end, absolutely perfect for Philippe to go in and play in that eight position. So, yeah, you're absolutely right, Graeme. He's like a lot of players, but Philippe in particular, he needs to be loved. You know, when he was at Anfield, he came into a really good environment. Players were brilliant, and then very quickly he showed his qualities. And at Anfield, they fell in love with him. He was just a special player, and then everything fed off that. And then going to Barcelona, I'm thinking that it will take a little bit of time because he's going into some big players, but technically he's good enough, and he has all the qualities to play there. But for whatever reason, it just hasn't quite worked out the same for him, which is a shame. I definitely think if he could play as an eight and he had someone like a Neymar on the outside, then that would have been an incredible combination along with Messi and Louis. And yeah, he's a big talent, but like lots of players, it was a massive move. He deserved the move, yeah. But it has to. It just hasn't quite happened for him, which is a shame because he's such a talent.
I won't put words in your mouth, but I think one of the things he lacks is the very thing that we've been talking about in these warrior footballers. I won't be beaten, I won't be put down, nothing's going to stop me. But I want to finish, if you're willing. We've talked about football and your passion and you're articulate about it, and I understand why you can teach well. But as a human being, you've gone to a club where the club suffered an extraordinary tragedy. What have you had to learn about yourself? What have you know, when you think about the people you've had to help, or not counsel, but bring through what happened, because the simply beyond the tragedy, clearly the club lost people, but also the owner, who was utterly beloved, who transformed the club, and I guess that to come through that and to continue being competitive, to continue saying this environment that Brendan set every day is still important when you feel that life is cruel or life is short, must, I imagine, have been one of the challenges of your lifetime.
You could see from the outside, I think everyone's seen Convicei and what he gave the club and the players. That was visible. You could see that as an outsider. And then obviously after the incident that happened, it was such a difficult time because this was a man who was the guiding light of this club and community. And it's only really when you come into it and you speak individually with players, with the people involved, with the community, what he gave to local hospitals and everything. They just lost someone that it went really, really deep. Because this is like an ownership like no other. You know, they really, the kindness, the care they give everyone, it's absolutely incredible. So they lost that figurehead. And I felt that when I came in, there was an opportunity to ensure that Convicei's legacy was a positive one. You know, because it must have been so difficult for Claude, along with all the other staff there and the players at the time when it actually happened. And I suppose me coming in was a different voice into the mix. And really, I felt was that we could use his incredible legacy as a signpost going forward, and the type of man that he was, and the type of care that he was, but how competitive he was, and that everything was absolutely possible. He always felt that. That's why he had success as a businessman, and why he's successful in football, because it was always possible. And I felt if we could use that legacy and tap into that and shine a positive light on it, then we can really use that as inspiration going forward. And that's what we've tried to do. And because he was such an icon for the club, and such a great man. And I only met him once briefly when I was manager at Swansea City, when we played against Leicester City, when Sven-Göran Eriksson was manager. So we had a brief chat then. But his son has taken on the mantra, Kuntop, and he's been absolutely incredible as a young man, what he's had to deal with through his life and business already. But his passion, and the people tell me he's just like his father. He's just like a mini version of his dad. So for Leicester City, there's an exciting time ahead. But of course, there was sadness when Kunvichai died, and what we will forever be grateful for will be his incredible input into the club, and we shall use that legacy to keep positive and to keep improving.
One day long in the future, because I know you speak Spanish and we've talked about your love for Leicester, be, you know, the club at which you win the title, you go to the Champions League final and win it. Let Leicester be 10 years in your life. But hypothetically, given that you're a man who loves challenges, hypothetically, one day, Spanish league football for you, before you hang up your blackboard and your whistle and your tracksuit, would that thrill you long in the future, once Leicester's trophy cabinet is fuller than it's ever been in its life? Did you fancy it?
Yeah, Graham, I've always said, but my intention is to get to 1,000 games as a manager. And, you know, so I'm on about 533, you know, and I've always been open in terms of my ambition in order to be the best that I can be, but also to help the clubs that I'm at be the best that they can be. And I've always said at some point in my career I'd love the challenge of working abroad, and in particular in somewhere like Spain. But of course, you're limited to the number of clubs that you could ever go to. So, but it's one where it's a game that I've always loved. You know, it's a country that I've loved, and like I say, you just never know. Currently, I'm in a great place.
Precisely. Right now, you've got 5, 6, 7 years stretching ahead of you. Let this not be transfer speculation. But of those who've come and coached here from the British Isles, be it Ireland, England, Scotland, Wales, the fact is, usually, they don't have an existing Spanish football philosophy in their brain. You do. Usually, there are exceptions, they don't speak Spanish. And that's a terrible hurdle. So if you talk about youth, energy, success, experience, the philosophy and the language, then for heaven's sake, it has to happen someday.
Well, you never know.
I'll start working on it now. How about that for a deal? For 2025... Leicester, don't worry. I'm just thinking about hypothetically. We probably in La Liga need an import of talent in the coaching side. So 6, 7 years' time, I'm calling it a date. Brendan Rodgers, that's been as fun, as educational as we expected it to be. Thank you for sharing your passion for the brand of football that you're teaching at Leicester. It's been fabulous. And may you be back playing and coaching as soon as it's safe and healthy, because your team is one of the teams that people say, I'll switch on the TV to watch them because they're worth it. And I think that's a really nice testimony.
Brilliant. Thank you, Graham. And eventually we got together.
Thank you for listening to The Big Interview. It's produced by me, which sounds egotistical, but it's also true, Graham Hunter, and Backpage. Our music is by Beer Jacket, who else? Editing by Charlie McGarry. Thank you to our hosts at Acast and our loyal sponsors at Bet365. We're also supported by our socios. Find out how to become a socio, how to support us, at patreon.com/Graham Hunter. Here endeth the lesson.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.